Now, when a loved one dies, there are plenty of people wanting to offer comfort. But through no fault of their own, they really don't often help. Sometimes it's just platitudes. People don't know what to say. Well, this is what happened to our first guest today. So she decided to take matters into her own hands and became a grief recovery specialist. She's here to hopefully say the words better than me. Welcome to the show, Gail Lynn Berry. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold. I kind of fell victim to it yesterday a bit, so if I sound a bit gruff...
Don't worry. It's going round, it really
is.
I will just say to our listeners that you've very kindly offered to take calls. If people have any questions for you, you can call us on 952-78-4000.
Sure.
But why did you get into the grief recovery method? Was it through your own experience?
My father died on April the 5th in 2018. Seems strange now because it's 2019. Mm. And very rapidly after that, my relationship with the man that I love ended. So I suffered two huge losses very swiftly, one after the other. And I just basically really broke as a person. I think when people die, when you're in a situation where you have a death, which is kind of an obvious loss, so people, they rally round, you have a funeral to arrange, people phone you up to find out how you are. In the initial stages of that, you get some kind of resonance with other people. So you don't, well, apart from the fact you're shocked as well. I felt like I was in a bit of a dream. It was a very, very strange state to be in. And very difficult to describe, but I totally felt like my world had been turned upside down. My father was the most amazing man. He was 95 when he died.
Wow. That's
95,
incredible.
I know. And he was amazing up until about a year before he died. You know, he was carrying shopping and, you know, taking my suitcases from me at the airport. And he was an extraordinary man and playing golf. But he went downhill very, very rapidly. And so he became, in the last year and a half of his life, very weak. So he was kind of dying as I knew him, which was also a very painful thing to watch. And I had a lot of very mixed feelings about that. But my father and I were extremely close all my life. I actually hardly know a father and daughter that were as close as we were. We were amazing friends. And losing him, I would never have been ready to lose him. So even though he lived to 95, you know, I was assailed with comments like, And well-meaning comments. Nobody meant bad by what they said, but people said to me, "Well, you know, he had a great innings. He had a long life. You know, he'd been around for a long time, or he's in a better place." And you know, maybe all these things are intellectually correct, but actually, what they did was made me feel more alienated and more isolated.
You feel like nobody really understood.
Well, they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't, because
unless they'd lost their father. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that actually when you grieve, every relationship we have with anyone is a unique relationship. So even the most well-meaning of people who will say, "Oh, I know exactly how you feel," they don't know exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
And everything that people say makes you feel actually more and more alienated from the world, really. So it is a very alienating state to be in when you're grieving. Also, you know, the thing is, how could I recover from my own grief? I had all, you know, I was kind of like knee-deep in grief. And there was no avenue of recovery. I remember in one really low moment, I rang my doctor, who I've got a great relationship with, and I said, "You know, could you help me? Is there something you could offer me?" And she, you know, very kindly said, "Well, would you like to see a psychologist? Or maybe you could take some medication." And for me, that was not a possibility. I'm not saying that that's not great for some people, but for me, that wasn't something I felt was even remotely appropriate, because I knew that these were the feelings I was having were natural feelings, and the prospect of taking a pill personally for me was a kind of like almost a heinous deed. I don't put that down. Medication works for some people, but I think grief is a natural thing. The problem is that in a society, we've been socialized not to know how to deal with grieving people, because we are so socialized to acquire everything in life. We want to get a better car or a better job or a better home or a better relationship or better clothes to wear or whatever it is. It's all about getting and acquiring. But actually, we're not actually as a society educated at all to deal with grief, apart from the, you know, the vague whisperings of people, well-meaning people, and anecdotal responses that are intellectual responses. Grief is not about a broken brain. It's about a broken heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no avenue basically to recover from my own grief, and I really actually began to lose all hope. I thought, well, gosh, you know, I'm just probably going to carry on feeling like this. And I ended up trying to kind of almost believe one of the six myths that exists around grief, which is that it will get better in time. Actually, I found that it got worse in time.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, because I felt that I should be better now.
Mm.
Or I should be feeling a bit better now.
A bit like there's a time limit. After three
yes.
months, you should be feeling better.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, a lot of people think, well, there are stages of grief. That's nonsense. There are no stages of grief. There was an amazing book written by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross about stages of actual dying, and that has nothing to do with grief. It's an amazing book, but I think a lot of people, I thought that as well. I thought, what stage am I in? You know, am I in the anger bit, the disbelief bit, or whatever those stages, those actually mythical stages are? But I was knee deep in, and I really did not know what to do. There was no avenue of recovery, because grief is a neglected and very misunderstood process. So we're told by well-meaning people, which is how we are socialized to talk to grieving people, don't feel bad, replace the loss, grieve alone.
Really?
Do people
say that?
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
You know, there's an amazing expression like, cry and laugh and the world laughs with you, yeah. Cry and you cry alone.
Yeah.
So we kind of think it's a private thing that we should be doing alone. And there's also somehow, well, for me also, a bit of embarrassment and shame about it, because after a while, when people ring you up and they're chirpy and they're getting on with their own lives, how are you? You know, just wanted to see how you are. What can you say to them when you feel like your world has fallen to bits?
And then you don't want to bring other people down, because
no,
you're worried
don't.
That they're going to stop.
So you feel the other thing is that you need to be strong for other people. That's another myth.
Yeah.
You can't be strong for anyone else. You can't be strong for other people. And the other famous one is keep busy. So actually, that's what I tried to do. I tried to keep busy. And the more I tried to keep busy, the worse I felt. Mm. And it really got to a stage where I wasn't going out. I was a mess, you know, really, in all honesty, I was a mess. And I thought, well, since there's no avenue for this kind of recovery, I'm just going to have to wait, in inverted commas, for it to disappear. So in the Grief Recovery Handbook, which is like the Bible for the method that I've learnt, one of the gentlemen that discovered the grief recovery method, who's a man called John James, said, you know, if you broke down in a car by the side of the road and your car broke or your tire was flat, you would have to take action to go and repair your car. Well, it's the same with grief. If you break down, you can't just sit by the side of the road and wait for time to pass so you feel better.
Mm.
You have to take action. But the thing is, I didn't know what action.
Yeah.
I didn't know what action to take. And then a very close, darling friend of mine told me, somebody had come into her rooms. She's a therapist herself, and she said, somebody has left this card called the Grief Recovery Method. She said, maybe this will help, Gail. Why don't you phone up and find out what it is? So I did. So I phoned up and I spoke to Carol Henderson, who runs the Grief Recovery Method in the UK. And I told her about my story. She actually told me about her story, which also made me feel completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Because grieving people, as I said, feel very alienated. And part of the methodology of helping people recover from grief is actually telling the person about your own personal experience, because you don't feel so alienated if you're sitting in the room with somebody who's been there, in inverted commas. You feel that you're talking on an equal basis with somebody, and you're not the person down there talking to the shiny, kind of glossy person who seems to have it all sorted, have it all sorted out. So I did this course. I flew to London. I flew to the UK to do it. And I was very nervous about going. I stayed in a hotel. I didn't know anybody there. I didn't know what to expect. But I was so desperate to do something about the way that I felt. I thought, you know what? I would fly to the moon to get better. And I did this course. And I did, the first completion I did was actually about my relationship with my boyfriend, because that was the one I was in the most agony about on a daily basis.
That was a form of grief as well that you were going through. It's a bit like a bereavement in itself, isn't
absolutely
it?
Well, I think, you know, that's another one of the you know, the kind of extraordinary things, is that people mostly associate grief with death, but actually loss is not limited to death. It also exists in our relationships with living people that are incomplete. And sometimes our most intense losses are with living people. So what we do when we go into grief recovery is we choose the relationship that embodies the most pain and the most unfinished emotion, or both. Because grief is really about being incomplete. It's about the things we wished we had more of, the things we never said, the things we did, the things we didn't do. It's about feeling incomplete in that particular relationship. And it can also cover non-deferential losses as well, such as loss of hope, loss of trust, moving, changing country. I mean, a lot of people who come to live here that have lived in England or in various other countries in Europe or other parts of the world, you know, that's a big change for people. We have lots of comforting things in Spain to alleviate people's losses, because we have English television and we can buy our kind of favourite sweets and things in the supermarket that we don't have in other European countries, because I used to live in Italy and you couldn't do any of that there. But I think I did this, the most important thing to convey is I did this process, and the pain of the loss, it was the pain of the loss. You don't, you know, when you're sad, if you've lost something that you love or someone that you love, you are going to feel sadness. That's also a normal way to feel. But it was the pain that I had the problem with. I felt like I'd actually been winded or punched.
Physical pain, yeah.
It was a very, very physical, it was a very physical thing for me. I literally felt like I was walking around with a gaping wound every day. And I don't have any pain now. It's completely gone. And I didn't know that I thought it was possible, but it absolutely, and I didn't actually think it was possible that I would ever not have that pain. But I don't have it anymore. And what I've actually been given back as a result of doing the grief recovery method is I gave myself back my relationship with my boyfriend. There were lots of wonderful things in that relationship. There were lots of things that he taught me, lots of wonderful things that we did. And when I stopped feeling in mortal agony about it all, I got those things back. I got those warm, precious things back. So I felt I had been enriched by the relationship, not that I was walking around like a wounded person.
So the grief recovery method, do they just teach you, is it a bit like CBT, they're teaching you to think in a different way?
Well, that's actually, yes and no. It's, first of all, I'm not a therapist, and I don't purport to be. It's an educational tool. So when you do the grief recovery method, you can either do it in a group environment with other people, or you can do it on a one-to-one basis. It usually requires 7 hours of time with your grief recovery specialist. And we recommend that you do, just so you ingest everything, an hour a week. And you buy a copy of the Grief Recovery Handbook, which is like a Bible, and you read certain chapters, and then we discuss the chapters, and there are actions that we take which have been proven to help complete people's losses. There are graphs that we do. They, you know, when I mention the word graph, I'm sure lots of people think, oh God, I don't know if I could do a graph. But actually, it's all very straightforward, and you're given a piece of paper, and it's really, really very easy to do. It's not a complicated thing to do. But I think one of the most important parts about it is that unprocessed and unresolved grief is like being in a form of emotional purgatory. And you can end up having it entwined with your personality, and it shadows your joy and your day-to-day existence. So the completion of grief allows us to have a natural need to be seen, understood, respected, and loved. And then the true self kind of thrives, and a person feels integrated and whole with a renewed sense of direction. And I think also for the true self to thrive, which is a very big part of the grief recovery method, we need something called resonance. We need resonance from others. We need those around us to understand and accept and support our current state so that we can express our emotions, both good and also bad. You know, not everyone has a loss that is about a great relationship. Some people, I did my grief recovery with a lady who'd always had the most terrible relationship with her father. It was, you know, never anything she wanted. She felt unseen by him. She hardly saw him. But when he died, she didn't actually have a reaction about that. It was her cat died that she'd taken in about 2 months later, and she just fell to pieces. Mm-hmm. So sometimes what happens with some people is it's not actually the event that precipitates your kind of breaking. It can be a smaller event, which then is kind of like the straw that breaks your back, mm. You know, and because grief is cumulative. And if we don't complete our losses, you can have a small thing happen, then you suddenly find you're in absolute pieces, and you're even more confused because you don't really know why. So you really feel like you're losing your marbles.
That's a bit like the straw that broke the camel's back sort
yes.
of thing. Yeah,
you know, absolutely. And these emotions aren't helped by anecdotal expressions by well-meaning people, as I said before. But we don't know what else to say. I've said that loads of times.
Well, I was going to ask you, can you advise us what to say? Because it is difficult to know. You want to help somebody who's really upset and grieving, but you just don't know what to say.
Well, I think a word that we use a lot, if somebody comes along and I'm listening to them and they're talking to me about something, I don't profess to know how they feel. So I empathize, and I use the expression, I can imagine. Mm. Because if you can imagine how somebody feels, it doesn't define what their feeling is, what their supposed feeling is, or how they feel listening to you that they are supposed to feel. So when you imagine something, you leave the person you say it to an enormous amount of space to then come back to you and either discuss it with you yeah. or not. But it's somehow more allowing, the word imagine. It feels more...
As opposed to, I know how you feel when they
do. Yeah, because then you think, do they? Or, you know, and people can be quite defensive and angry about that kind of thing. Mm. And if you're really feeling horrendous and somebody bleats on about how they know exactly how you feel...
You don't need
them. It actually is really very annoying.
Yeah.
And even more alienating.
I can imagine.
It is. It's awful. Because you then feel doubly bad because you know these people are not meaning yeah. to do yeah. bad things. So...
It's really, really interesting. So you can now, do you now offer the grief recovery method to other people?
Yes, I do. Okay. So I have a qualification, and I'm a specialist. It's an educational tool, as I said. People can come to me and if it's one person, about any loss. It does not have to be. I really need to emphasize this is not just about death.
Yeah.
It's regardless of whatever has broken your heart. And actually, grief is also, it is about a broken heart. It's not about a broken brain. Mm. So people don't lose their ability you can't intellectualize away pain. Mm. So somebody comes along and I go through the methodology with them. The wonderful thing about it afterwards is once you've done your completion with your specialist, you can then use the tools that you've learnt and apply them to any other loss. But it gives you the independence. You can go away and do this for yourself. Mm. So actually the best thing that can possibly happen and the most success that you can possibly have with somebody is somebody comes to you for a broken heart or any kind of loss, whatever that is, whether it's non-deferential or somebody's died or they've lost their relationship, or they're divorced. somebody can come along and do their completion with you, but they also then have the tools for the rest of their life. It's also not the same as grief counseling. Grief counseling is a very useful, wonderful thing, but a lot of people are offered that as a pastoral option, and not everybody is religious and not everybody wants to go down that road. And if they're not religious, they feel compounded. I think they think, oh my God, I'm going to have to go and talk to a priest about this now. And then he's going to pressurize me about it's, that's not,
that's not how it is.
No, right. I mean, that's also, listen, kind people when you're sad and you're hurting are always a blessing. Yeah. So that doesn't, you don't recover. There's a lot of rumination that goes on when you go into counseling about grief. So you go over the loss and you go over the loss and there's a lot of rumination about that. But grief recovery is recovery. And it does not mean that the relationship ends. It means that you actually get the relationship back in all the wonderful ways that were so fantastic about it, that made you so sad to lose it.
Mm. It really does make it sound a lot better, let's put it that way. A lot better than the alternative.
I had a complete epiphany. Yeah. I could absolutely not. When I came back to Spain, people who knew me here just couldn't believe the difference in me. Oh, my eyes were sparkling again. I could do normal things. I got dressed and went out in the normal way. I was watching comedies on television again. Before I did this, I couldn't even bear to hear people laughing. Or any animated person, to me, was kind of like an assault.
Mm. How dare you? When I'm suffering, it was,
you feel like the world goes black and white. Or that's how I felt. So the thing about the grief recovery method is, obviously, I think if somebody's had an epiphany with something that was so terrible and then becomes so, so, so much better afterwards, it's a natural thing to want to be, evangelical about it. And share it with other people, because I feel like there are so many people that I want to help because I know that I've learnt something that can help so many people that have nowhere to go.
And this organisation's been going quite a long time.
Yeah, the Grief Recovery, the book, the Grief Recovery Method Handbook, is actually in its 20th edition. And the Grief Recovery Method has been in existence in America for over 40 years. Grief Recovery Method Institute UK has been going for about 7 years. And I think the numbers they gave me, I can look at my piece of paper here, the book has sold 1 million copies globally.
Crikey, that's a lot.
Which is fairly incredible.
It is, isn't it?
The thing is, we're all going to have to go there grief-wise.
This is the trouble, isn't it? Yeah, it's a dread, but we're all going to be there. And can people get in touch with you then? If anyone's listening and they might want to get in touch about this, what's the best way? Email, phone number, it's up to you.
I think the best thing is to phone me. Mm-hmm. And I can give out my phone number now if you want.
Yeah, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, my phone number for people, I've got two telephone numbers. I've got an English telephone number, which is 07171715072. And my Spanish number is 0034 for Spain, obviously. And the number is 640170623. And I'm happy to talk to everyone about this, and you're very welcome to call me. I think having a conversation is better than sending an email. I mean, if somebody wishes to email me, they can, but there's something, I don't know.
It's less personal, I suppose.
I think, putting kind of like not think, well, finger to tablet rather than pen to paper, is kind of, I don't know, I think it's better, well, I personally, you're welcome to call. If you would rather message me rather than speak to me, that's okay as well. I have WhatsApp on both numbers, and I'm more than happy to talk to people and explain the methodology of this and everything that it involves. And, you know, that's not a problem.
Well, I have all the information as well. I always say, if anyone's driving, don't worry, just wait till you stop and call me, and I've got the numbers as well. And the website for grief recovery, too, if you want to have a look first, is griefrecoverymethod.com. Gail, it's sort of been an epiphany for me. It's really opened a whole new world. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.